I kid you not, I thought somebody came down from heaven and just said, Tasha, that is the one. And it sounds like, for some people, like, yeah, right. But all I just hope this gives maybe girls in their late 20s, in their 30s, their late 30s, a little bit of hope.
The stars aligned.
Yeah, that God has somebody out there for you.
Hello, I'm Kim Kelly and I'm here with the fitness guru, Natasha Darrier. This is the Driven podcast by It's For Women. Natasha Darrier is such a fitness icon. She even has a nickname. She's the gym guru. Natasha is an award-winning personal trainer with clients across the globe, and she has a huge online fan base. But in the world of fitness that can often be, how can I put this, smoke and mirrors, Natasha stands out as being ethical in her approach. She started her career helping mums who couldn't get babysitters to get fit, and she's masterminded special boot camps for people over a size 18 where they develop a love of fitness away from those prying eyes. She is truly dedicated to helping others on their journey of lifelong fitness. But it hasn't always been plain sailing for Natasha, and behind this seemingly picture-perfect lifestyle, like many of us, she has faced real heartache and even considered giving up. Let's hear the inspirational story of how the gym guru fought back. Natasha, it is lovely to have you here, and thank you so much for bringing your lovely baby. So if you hear any little murmurs in the background, it is delightful baby Oscar. You're a new mum. You look fabulous. How do you do it?
Thanks very much, Kim. Oscar is 4 months now, and it's definitely been a journey and a transition for me from coaching women and mothers for years, and now I'm in that boat, and it's just the most fantastic journey it's been. And I think if I can't get in shape and get fit,
yes,
you know, after having a baby, after coaching mums for years, well then, I'm not a very good coach.
Time for you to put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly.
So let's go back in time. You're a GAA player and you played football. So was little Natasha growing up, was she a sporty little girl?
Absolutely. I always say that my fitness career, my passion for sport and fitness actually started when I was probably Oscar's age, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, my mum, she never had the opportunity to have babysitters when I was a baby. So she used to dance around the living room to Jane Fonda exercise videos.
Fantastic. Yes.
So at Oscar's age myself, I probably watched that, and that was instilled in me from a young age. And then when I was 4 years of age, I was as a toddler, in the living room, and I was trying to do, you know, like a bridge, like almost like a back walk over. And my mum said to my dad, she has to do gymnastics. And she sent me, just turned 4, to gymnastics. And that was the start of my passion for sports and fitness. And then later, a few years, when I gave up the gymnastics at 13, I just got to the All-Ireland final. And after that, thought, right, okay, next stage. And that's where football came in.
Yes. And your football career went well?
Yes, absolutely. Most passionate Gaelic footballer I was, played a bit of soccer too. Mm-hmm. Just always, my parents, they separated when I was 12, 13. And I remember at that young age, the football was my life. I took the football everywhere with me. And I think that was back then, a time it was almost like respite from everything. It was my way of diverting that negative energy. I remember I used to go out and kick football really hard against a wall. And it was a guy in my primary school, a teacher in my primary school. And he said, Tasha, do you want to come along? I think I was 11, 12, to Gaelic football training in the youth club. And I was so used to playing like street soccer, and he put the ball in my hand and he says, okay, and he made me solo in and out of the cones, and then he just said, you're going to play county football one day. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And that was 11 years
Fantastic.
Of age, and I never looked back. I absolutely loved Gaelic football, played it. And then when I was 16, I was playing in the local youth club and didn't know there was a scout stand in the window, and then I ended up playing for Northern Ireland as well.
My goodness.
Yeah,
so it really has
football
been.
Football was everything.
Sport has been a massive part of your life. And then as you grew up, this was something that helped you. So you wanted to use this to help other women. How did this come about that you started working with women?
Yes, I actually got an elite athlete scholarship into the University of Ulster for Gaelic football. And at the same time, I had a part-time job when I was 16 in the Funhouse, which back then was Ireland's biggest and leading play and party venue. And a part-time job turned into a career for me, which I absolutely fell in love with. I fell in love with the business. I fell in love with the concept. It was clean. It was safe. It had a football pitch, which was great.
Brilliant.
So at 16, 17, to get a part-time job where you're paid to play football and go down slides.
Oh my goodness, the dream. The absolute dream.
So I had my part-time job. I studied as well, BSc Honours in Sports Studies. Mm-hmm. And then I had, through that degree, I got my personal training qualifications, my circuit training, my fitness instructing. I did a one-year placement as well, lecturing sport. And then I thought, I really love coaching women. I was also coaching like football teams, helping like my local club at the time. And in the Funhouse, as a manager, and I could see mums come into the centre after their first baby, and they were looking glamorous and feeling really good and showing off this beautiful newborn. And then I created like so many friendships in the Funhouse with mums, and realised then when baby number 2, 3 came, the women were coming in, they were so tired. They said, "Oh, Tasha, I'd love to do something in fitness. Do you know any PTs that I could take the kids? I don't have time to train." And then I just looked around, and family and friends said to me, "Tash, go get a job in a gym." But when I looked around, all I could see was a big family gym.
Yes.
And I went to my bosses at the time, who are my best friends now, and I said, "I think I could start my business in this business. There's such a niche for a gym, a facility locally, that mums could come and train while kids could play." So we started that concept, kids play whilst mums exercise. And there was no social media back then except for Facebook. So I just put a post up, "Kids play whilst mums exercise. Come along to the Funhouse, try out your free class, 6 p.m. And over 65 cars rolled into the car park.
Oh my goodness, what a success.
And that was the start of the journey.
That's fantastic. And I really like that you have a slightly different approach to training. I mean, you're very clear on saying that you don't have to work out every single day for an hour. And I love your mantra, "We rise by lifting others."
Yes, I came across that saying many years ago now, and I just believe that. I think women should always lift each other up, and there's so much pressure now in media, social media, everywhere you look, there's pressure. As you said at the start of the podcast, you know, feeling that intimidation of somebody coming in, a figure, a nice figure in a certain way. Mm-hmm. There's so much pressure in women, and I just think we need to lift each other up more. And that's the concept that I always had in my boot camps, that you were walking into the Funhouse at that time. It wasn't a gym atmosphere. It was all mums in around the same age at that time, creating new friends, all lifting each other up and having the crack, just having fun.
Yes.
And I think that's definitely where that "We Rise by Lifting Others," it just kicked off everything then. It's another thing that I noticed was missing here in Ireland was that there was so many gyms, and at that stage they were all doing these transformation, like 12 weeks, let's get shredded, let's get the mum with 4 kids a set of abs, 6 pack. And I just thought, how does a mum with 3, 4 kids stand at 12 o'clock at night and prep boiled chicken and spinach? No. I was like, no.
Definitely not.
This is crazy. This is insane. Like, this is not sustainable. And then what I found, so I was having this concept, having these thoughts, and then there was a local girl, Emer, who's a good friend of mine now, and she was telling me, she reached out to me on Instagram, that she found it really hard to go to gyms, and she was experiencing, you know, that plus size feeling of being intimidated.
Yes.
And she enjoyed her swimming at the time, and I just thought, and she actually inspired me, she's a good friend now, and she inspired me to do something in Uri for women that were, say, plus size, so say 18 plus, and it was one of the, everything that I've done, it was definitely one of the best boot camps. And there was a lady, a local lady, I'll never forget it, Roseanne, and she walked into that first class. She walked straight up past everyone and she said, "Help me." She says, I'm possibly at death's door. I can't walk up the stairs. I can't run after my kids. And I just made it my mission then. This Plus program was there and it was here to stay. And so we had ladies all size 16, 17, 18, right up to all sizes, coming in and losing weight because they were having fun. I didn't put any heavy pressure. Mm-hmm. There was no heavy, there's no mad cardio sessions. There was no heavy weight training sessions. It was a mixture of everything and it was fun. And the results that those ladies got, Roseanne, for example, I think she's nearly about 6-7 stone down now.
Goodness me.
She's about, I think, 6 dress sizes down. She came runner up in the Northern Ireland Health and Fitness Awards for Transformation of the Year.
Oh my goodness, right.
So Emer herself has dropped times 10 stone down. I had ladies that have literally changed their lives, and that plus programme will always really be in my heart.
So things were going really well for you at that time, and I hear you worked with Justin Bieber.
Yes, that's one I always get asked. I do a lot of talks in schools.
Yes.
And I always get...
Don't worry about that.
There
that
we go.
Was
that's
just
not the
baby.
That,
just to prove that we're doing this live, that was the baby dropping his bottle.
Yes,
that,
exactly.
Isn't it? But it wouldn't be an It's for Women podcast without a little baby in arms here. And he's very welcome.
Well, that's why I wanted to take him, because I'm always realistic with people that follow me and the mums that I coach, that I know, I actually understand more than ever. It's
yes.
not easy. I'm driving down to this podcast today on the phone to Andrew going, what am I going to do? Like, I have to take this baby and like,
you know what? Oscar, you bring him with you.
Yeah,
you bring him with you.
Oscar this morning, he came with me to, I took PT session.
Yes.
We also went, we took a Babes and Babies boot camp. He came with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a meeting at lunchtime. He came with me, and now he's here in the podcast. So mums, I understand more than ever.
He's such a doughty wee thing. I'm just looking at him. Look at his wee face. Honestly, he's making me broody if I wasn't so old. Anyway,
you're not old.
Back
Justin
to Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Yes. So yeah, I always get asked this in schools. So when I was in final year of university, I was nominated class rep of the class in Jordanstown, and I got this call. So it was myself, and then there was a male class rep as well, my friend Lee, and he had phoned me one Thursday evening, and he says, Tash, the university are looking both of us to go and work at the MTV EMA Awards.
Yes.
And I thought, what, really? That's this weekend in Belfast. At the time it was the Odyssey, it's the SSE Arena now. And he says, yeah, see what you can do. The money is okay. He says, you'll have to take the weekend off work. He says, but you'll be looking after a lot of the celebs. And I honestly thought Lee would play a few jokes.
Yes.
I thought this was a joke. So again, phoned my friends on the Funhouse, can I have the weekend off? And he says, to work at MTV Awards? Of course, go. And I will never forget, I still didn't believe that it was true. So I got my mum to like pick out this wee suit for me. So it looked so professional. And I look back at that photo now.
Yes.
And I don't even cringe. I just think, that is the cutest thing.
Yes.
So mum helped me with that. And then arrived at Belfast, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. They told me to walk in the back entrance of the SSE Arena. So I was walking along, somebody was walking beside me, and he was like, hey, how you doing? And I turned around, and this guy was actually really small, and in case people don't know, I'm tiny.
She's tiny.
Tiny, literally tiny. And this guy was like the same height as me, and I turned around, and it was Bruno Mars.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it was Bruno Mars, and I was like, oh, hi.
Hi, Bruno.
Like, yeah, he's like, how you doing? And I was like, I'm good. And I had got an email before, you're not allowed to act, one of the rules, you're not allowed to act starstruck, you have to act professional. So I was like, trying not to act starstruck.
Lovely weather, Bruno.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, great, oh, it's a lovely morning. And then met Laura, she was like the manager at the time of the events company and working alongside MTV, and she had met me at the back door, and she's like, okay, come on. And she had the clipboard, and exactly how you imagine somebody like that to be managing everything of that size, and she's running around the clipboard. Okay, Tash, come quickly, we have to just go in and check Selena here, and then I'll give you your list, what you're doing and where you're based. And I was like, right. Walked in, didn't even listen properly, opened the door to dressing room, Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, this is it Tash or Tasha? What do you like being called? And I was like, Tasha, it's okay. And then she's like, hey, Tash, how are you? Belfast is lovely, isn't it? And I was like, just froze. And that's when I realised what I was going to be doing. And then, so basically what we were like client coordinators, we were called. So we were assigned, say, 6 or 7 celebrities. And then we were based in a hotel. So we had where they were staying. So, for example, it was like the Merchant, the Hilton. We had to make sure that they were checked in either hotels. We had to make sure that they had security. Any of the artists that were performing that weekend, that if they had to be at their rehearsals on time. So the first day I had Jason Derulo, I had Kasabian, Kings of Leon, who else? Lady Gaga as well the first day. And it was just Insane. Wow. Yeah, it was incredible. So I was based in the Hilton the first day, and Lady Gaga, she wasn't staying there, but she's in now. And then that night, then I got my list for the next day on my list, and I was a massive fan back then, was Justin Bieber. So Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, they were obviously together back then. So I had them and David Hasselhoff, actually, for the final day. Yeah, so it was great. It was such an experience.
That's an amazing experience, isn't it? So round about this time, your career is going really, really well. You take a move over to Dubai, where you start taking boot camps, the glamour.
Yes, I had travelled Australia about 2 years before that for a couple of months, and on the way back I stayed with my cousin in Dubai for a week, and I absolutely fell in love. I fell in love with Dubai. I actually fell in love with, people see Dubai as the glam and the nights out and the brunches, but I actually fell in love with the culture as well, because Dubai actually has two sides. You have the side of Dubai, which just, you know, it's so respectful, the Arabian food, you know, the music, like the sound of the mosques going, it has that side too. And I just fell in love with that side. I fell in love with the Irish community out there, because my cousin, she made me go to Gaelic football
training. Of course, training. You were continuing to fly that flag.
She says, "Oh, go on over to the Dubai Castor for a session. Do you know, I'm working this evening." And I just couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over the community out there. So I made it my mission when I was coming home to work really hard for a year and then maybe take a career break and move back over. And that was 2015. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the best things that I ever did. At the time, I was going to say asked. I begged my best friend Shannon to come with me, and we just had such a year. So that's where we actually end up teaching. Mm-hmm. So I finished school at 2:30, and then I would take boot camps for all the Irish ladies, and personal training as well in the evenings. So it was just fantastic.
The time of your life.
Time of my life.
So then you're back home again, and you're still continuing with an awful lot of success here, and the pandemic comes. But of course that actually ended up being quite good for you, because you went online and your brand went global.
Yes. So when I moved back from Dubai at the time, I realised in Dubai, one of the things that really kicked off for me was boot camps. I was taking ladies' boot camps on the beach, whereas beforehand I was only taking, like, say, Zumba classes and dance fitness classes before in the funhouse with the mums. And I thought, oh, boot camp style might be work really well at home. So I came home, set them up, and that little business, it was two people started in the funhouse disco room, and that transitioned to nearly maybe 300 members. We were doing boot camps, which is just incredible. And yes, built it up, and then then when we went to Australia, so my previous relationship, then we moved to Australia. So it was his dream to move to go to Australia. So I actually gave everything up.
Yes.
All the boot camps, and took myself with him to Australia, which was a fantastic experience. I met friends for life. I got a lot of experience coaching out there, but I knew my heart was always at home. And yes, I just built up those numbers and that business, and to walk away.
Yes.
I don't regret it, but it was definitely a learning curve for me.
Yes.
So it was actually, that was just the year before COVID. So I actually had to transition all those members online then. Mm-hmm. So a lot of coaches actually went online right in lockdown. I had a year ahead.
Yes.
Because I had to do that. I was thrown into that situation where I had to transition those clients online. So I had built the foundation. So when lockdown it came, I had the foundation built, I had the program set, I had the workouts filmed and things. Mm-hmm. And then lockdown kicked in, and that's where it just escalated then. Having a lot of local members, actually hit into over 800 members in 20 countries.
Yes.
Which is,
so you're doing really well.
Yeah,
you're doing really well professionally, but as always seems to happen, whenever one side of your life is going well, the other maybe wasn't going as well, and you've said that this relationship really wasn't bringing you happiness.
Yes, absolutely. And I've never really spoken about this, you know, publicly, and I won't. I'll always keep a massive part of it private.
Yes.
But it was a really, really tough time. And I would say one of the toughest times in my life. Mm-hmm. The challenges that I had to overcome to get where I am now. And when I look back, I'm so proud of myself.
Yes.
Because I just think there was so much strength there. And at the time, I thought I had no strength. And I remember sitting in Australia one night at 12 o'clock at night on a park bench. I hadn't told my family how bad things were, my yes. friends, nobody knew. And I remember sitting in a park bench at 12 o'clock at night just thinking, what's this all for? Do you know, I just thought, my business is gone now. I've walked away from it all. I'm not even playing my sports anymore. I'm not enjoying my gym anymore. I'm not good enough for this person. I'm not good enough for anybody. And at that stage, I was like, I'm just going to give up online. I'm just going to give up everything. Like, what's the point? And thank God there was somebody looking out for me that night. And I just thought, right, take yourself for a walk. Now, it wasn't maybe ideal walking around Sydney at 12 o'clock at night. But somebody just, there was an angel there that looked after me that night. Just attached, go for a walk. You know, just think about all the things that you've done and how far you've came and what you've actually, you know, come through in this relationship already. You have the strength to leave. So yeah, whoever that angel was that night, like, I thank them.
So you took it one step at a time, and how did you manage to dig yourself out of that situation?
Yeah, it was really hard, and you know, there is respect to that person too. Yes. You know, when you're in, what I try and teach my clients now and to so many women out there is that always go with your gut feeling.
Yes.
And my gut feeling probably from quite early on in that relationship, you know, there was always a gut feeling there. Like, is this right?
Yes.
I see this in social media all the time of mental health. Reach out, talk.
And it's so true. And it sounds trite, but it isn't. It's so important to talk about things.
So important. And even if it's just that one person, like a best friend, or I know I spoke about my best friends, the Funhouse as well. And just like I said a few things to them, like, is that right? Like, should I be feeling like that? Or, do you know? And once I just started saying wee things, and then I started to really think, do you know what? Maybe I'm right. My gut feeling started screaming at me then, Tash, run, like, get out, you're better than this. He was better than that too.
You weren't making each other happy.
Yeah, we weren't making each other happy. And but I was at rock bottom. And I think being at rock bottom, it makes me appreciate things now so much better.
Well, it can be a good place to be, because there's only one way, and that's up.
Absolutely, yeah.
So were you training at this time, or had you stopped?
Training in the gym.
Yes.
That's the best thing about that really, really tough time, is that I actually found CrossFit. I started doing CrossFit in Sydney.
Yes.
And then when I moved home, I found a CrossFit gym.
Yes.
So many people had reached out to me and said, I put it on my Instagram, I'd love to try CrossFit.
Yes.
And people had recommended EST here in Newry, and I would say it's Ireland's best CrossFit gym.
Yes.
And I've done CrossFit Sydney, London, Dubai, and I still stand by it. It's one of the best facilities in the world.
And we do here in Northern Ireland, we do punch above our weight a little bit in CrossFit. I remember speaking to a girl, Lucy McGonigal.
Yes,
who's
she's
a world
fantastic.
Champion, isn't she?
Oh, she is gold.
She's a world champion, but why do people not really know about this girl? Yeah. I mean, she is a world champion.
Yeah, she is she's fascinating. She is just
so interesting,
phenomenal,
isn't she?
Yes. I watched Lucy actually about 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. She was maybe, I don't know, 12, 13, and I just thought, this is fun to watch.
I mean, for those of you who don't know much about CrossFit, this girl is 17, and honestly, the fitness level of this girl, she's like a normal schoolgirl who is a world champion at CrossFit.
Yeah,
it's so bizarre.
Best.
But yet nobody ever talks about her. I don't know why. We need to get her on the podcast.
We need to get her on. She'd be happy to.
Yes.
So at that really tough time, during that relationship, and then coming out of it, I found CrossFit. And it was the best thing. I remember walking into the doors of EST, and probably the boys now, Emmett and Mickey, like, I don't think they realise how much they helped me back then.
Yes.
Because I walked into a gym as a PT and a fitness coach.
Yes.
And sometimes as PTs and fitness coaches, you walk into the gym and you think, oh, I am the bee's knees.
Yes.
Like, I am, no, but I'm the fittest person in this room. But you walk into CrossFit and you are humbled. Like, you are back down the ground, like, fit? You're not fit. Get up.
Yes.
You know, and I think that really did ground me. Those boys really helped me. I think they knew that I was going through a tough time as well. And I just put so much effort into it. I just absolutely loved everything about it. CrossFit has the element of gymnastics, which I did my childhood, Olympic weightlifting, and then obviously that cardiovascular method as well. So for me, coming from team sports, coming from a real, real tough time, tough relationship, to be able to focus on something a little bit more competitive that showed so much progression and like lifts and different things, I fell in love with it. And I thank the boys, thank CrossFit now, because it gave me that mental strength to go again and to find my worth, that even as a coach, as a PT, as an athlete. In CrossFit, you go in as a beginner and you're called an athlete, which is amazing. So like, imagine a mum with a couple of kids who starts CrossFit, they're now considered a CrossFit athlete, and it's fantastic.
The feeling of that.
The feeling
amazing.
Is incredible.
So once again, you were saved by sport. Sport is such a massive part of your life, and at this point, sport stepped in and saved you.
Yes.
So then, what happened next? Isn't it wonderful, the twists and turns of life? I love this story. Tell us what happened next.
So yeah, CrossFit, everything was going really well. Starting to build up my business again after, you know, leaving it behind, going to Australia. And then obviously it was doing well in lockdown, but then you lose the side of business in lockdown in person. And so many fitness coaches thought this was great, let's go online. But I actually missed coaching people in person. I always want to be like a hybrid coach, online and in person, because the industry is constantly changing. People need people. And so many business mentors say online is the way to go for fitness. No, I actually believe that right now, in this crucial time, especially the economic climate, people need to be personally trained in person, coached in person, just to get the mental health better again. So so I was trying to build up my business back online again. I'm sorry, online was going good, build it up in person again, which was quite hard because the Funhouse, the play centre, had closed. So I was, you know, doing boot camps and gyms and things, and I just felt that I couldn't get that buzz that I had in the Funhouse. So it was a bit of a struggle. But I knew in Dubai that I had, you know, a great network out there to have boot camps in person again, and on the beach, of course. And then from the last relationship, again, I still had those feelings that I wouldn't be good enough for somebody, or I was told I was never going to find anybody again and things like that. And so I just, you know, there's part of you that starts to believe those things. And then I thought, right, I might move back to Dubai. I absolutely love it out there. I really, really, all I really wanted in my life was to meet someone and, you know, start a family and meet somebody that truly cared about me and that I could be more relaxed with. And almost, I wanted to find my best friend, really. And it just, it wasn't happening. I tried different dating apps and things like that, and it just wasn't working. And I always had this thing locally, oh, nobody would like me because of my Instagram. Nobody would like me because of my social media. And that was just silly. And so I was in London. So I was going back to Dubai for a month in October to kind of set up, and I had a few schools bookings to do. And the weekend before I went, I was over in London, and my brother lives in London, and one of my best friends, Stephanie, and I was in Stephanie's apartment, and I said, I'm going to try this dating app one last time.
Yes.
And this time I'm going to pay. So it's a subscription. So, you know, you can have Tinder, Hinge,
that's,
and that.
You pay for the better quality of gentlemen.
Exactly. Yeah, it sounds silly. But yeah, then I thought, yeah, actually, I'd said to one of my friend says, you're silly paying that £30. And I said to her, well, what's your goal? Well, I want to lose weight. And I said, you're a member of two gyms. You're spending over £100 a month. And the thing that she really, really wanted was to meet somebody, but she wouldn't spend £30 on the dating subscription. So I said this to people now. I said
priorities.
On social media, I said to my clients, if you really want to meet someone, do what you're doing for the other side things in your life. Do you know?
Yes.
So I thought, right, pay the £30. Narrowed it down to 5 miles, and then narrowed it down. So I wanted kind of somebody from home. In my head, I was thinking, right, I'm not going to find somebody locally that knows me from social media, but maybe somebody from like Dublin or Kerry,
yes.
That's on the same wavelength as me, like loves, you know, business, is like chilled, loves nice things in life, loves sport, loves fitness. So first guy comes up and he's standing with a hurl. He's nice. And what it is then, when you pay for the subscription, you have like different questions on the dating app, you know, what you want in life. And his was, I'd love a wife and kids one day, I'd love to move home someday. And I thought, you know what, that's really honest and upfront. And sometimes you don't see that in those dating apps. And I was like, oh, just hit like. And then flew to Dubai. And then we matched, and we were talking about in Dubai. And he was like, oh, Tasha, we probably matched because I was home at the weekend.
Oh.
I was like, what does he mean? And he says, yeah, I'm from Hilltown. Yeah, 10 minutes off the road.
So?
Went to London and found the one from Hilltown. You couldn't write it.
No, you couldn't write it. So I assume that is the gentleman that came in and collected your baby.
That is the lovely gentleman. Gentleman.
So things moved fast.
It did move fast, yes. Met Andrew. So went to Dubai for the month. It kind of actually set up, you know, maybe a potential job that I was going to do out there, where I was going to take my camps, everything. I was coming home for Christmas. We had been messaging when I was there, and then we went for a date. I think it was the day after I came back. And this maybe sounds cringy to some people, but me and Andrew laugh about it. We went for the first date on the Saturday, and we actually went because he was flying back to London, the second date on the Sunday. And on the Sunday, we went to Fitzpatrick's for dinner. And I remember whatever way I looked at the menu, I kid you not, I thought somebody came down from heaven and just said, Tasha, that is the one. And it sounds like, for some people, like, yeah, right. But all I can, I just hope this gives maybe girls in their late 20s, in their 30s, their late 30s, a little bit of hope.
And it gives you a better understanding of what other women go through as well. So it does nothing, but it really actually is better for your business, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I was previously, you know, put down for my social media and trying to grow my business in social media. Andrew is the opposite. Like, a good example is I was on board with Bella Mianta, yes, last year, and I remember they'd sent me out like a big box of tan. Yes. You have to do your content for it and that. And I was so tired, and I was pregnant, and I had a list of content to do. I was working with different people and my own content to do. And it was 11 o'clock at night, and I remember Andrew came in with the Bella Mianta box, and he was like, "Tasha, these lovely people sent you this box. Come on, you have to do the content for me. Do you want me to help you?"
Oh, bless him.
And I just thought, that is fantastic. What support that is. And
there's,
I never
knew.
There's
nothing better than a man with a tanning glove on, is there?
Yeah, I never
knew. That is proper support. Yeah. That really is proper support.
I never knew of support like that before. Yes. So, and to have that support, everything, like today, he rushed down, yes, to pick up Oscar so that I could fully focus on this podcast.
Yes.
And yeah, we're definitely a wee dream team now. So
that's wonderful. That's lovely news. And that's probably a really good place to wrap this up, because things are looking very bright for you. But finally, what words of advice would you give to any woman who has been putting off getting fit?
Getting fit. Any ladies listen to this today, if you keep putting off getting fit, or your main goal is weight loss, I just want you to believe in yourself. Believe in yourself more than ever. If you believe that you can't do it, or you can't lose weight, you absolutely can. But what I want you to really do is, I want you to focus, is what you just said, Kim, is get fit. First, I want you to stop. Don't think about the scales. Don't even possibly think about the food first. Let's think about exercise that you enjoy. There's such this pressure, and even probably if you go onto my Instagram, there's pressure of like doing CrossFit or doing reformer Pilates or doing this. I want you to focus on something that you enjoy. So if you enjoy walking, I want you to walk, start walking. Just put it in your diary. Week one, you're going to go and do 2 walks a week. Week 2, 3 walks a week. So start doing, maybe you enjoyed playing football when you're younger. So to that lady out there.
Start again.
Yeah. Go back. There's Gaelic for mothers and others. Or I'm going to soccer tonight with mums. Do you know?
Yes.
So I want you to find something that you enjoy, or do something that you once enjoyed. Start doing that. After you do that, you'll actually see, because you're starting to enjoy your exercise, and that will actually motivate you to maybe start thinking about maybe being in a calorie deficit and really focusing on losing weight. But the first thing is believe in yourself that you can do it. And second of all, find something that you enjoy, and I promise you the weight loss and the fitness will come.
Those are the very wise, wise words of Nuri's very own gym guru. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you
Natasha.
For having me.
What a great episode. But unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. A special thank you to our guest, Natasha, for joining us. And thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please leave a review. We read every single one, and we love to hear your feedback. Make sure to follow It's For Women on social media. I've been your host, Kim Kelly, and this has been the Driven by It's For Women podcast.